This is Icon Art Radio, and I'm here with Alan Cobb. Donna Colby is on away, and we have Bob Horline here tonight as our this afternoon, whatever it is, this morning, as our guest host. And these two are going to interview me today because I'm having a showing of my small drawings at Teeple Hansen Gallery here in Fairfield, opening on November 6th. And I think the question that they're going to ask to begin with is, how did this come about? Would you like to ask, how did this come about?
How did this come about?
Good question, well, Bob.
Excellent question. Well, I have not been doing drawings. Those of you who have known me for some years, well, those of you who have known me for many years know that I'm actually an artist. And that's how I know about what it is to be an artist and how I'm able to teach it at the level that I teach it, because you can't really teach someone what it is to be an artist unless you really know the place intimately. And I've done all kinds of art over the years. When I started Gallery 51 East, I fell into teaching. I hadn't planned to be a teacher. I was just an artist. I had been doing many things in life, being involved with the Transcendental Meditation Program, involved with gardening and different things, along with making constructed works of art, in an attempt to integrate all aspects of life into one sort of holistic art life. And when I came to Fairfield in 1998 again, I had been kind of having a distant relationship with the contemporary art world because I was working in some of these other areas of integration. And I decided that I needed to go back into the center of the art world somehow, which I was kind of feeling was had its problems. There was decadence and there were things that I didn't like about the contemporary art world. And the whole means of dissemination of the hearts of the artists in the world today. So I was holding it at bay a bit, and I decided that that was not holistic either. So when I came here, I decided that I was going to embrace the art world again, that I needed to get inside it again and be in the middle of it and see what happened. I thought it meant making artwork more, some of these commodities to move out into the gallery world. And as it turned out, there was someone in town who was leaving town who had been an art teacher and had these small art courses that she'd been teaching. And she thought that I would be a perfect person to take her students on to another level. So overnight, without deciding I was going to be a teacher, I was teaching. Now, it wasn't that I hadn't thought about teaching. I had worked with my peers and they'd used my eye in the past. I had done some private teaching out on the West Coast. I was sort of like ready to go on stage. I had definitely let my awareness go into the what it was to be a teacher, to teach this subject that was so dear to me. So, but I hadn't like decided, oh, a way to make a living is to be an art teacher. I was an artist who found myself teaching, and then I found that I love to teach. So then I was a teacher. When I moved the teaching studio to a new location in town, and there were some empty rooms, I rented those rooms and started hanging some art with some of my friends, including Bob right here. And without deciding I was going to be an art gallery person, I was overnight an art gallery person. So I had been an artist trying to figure out how to integrate the artistic life with the practical life and have a kind of holistic living artistic reality that I moved in that accomplished practical things in life at the same time. This was my thrust. But suddenly what happened is that nature had delivered to me being an artist, a teacher, and a curator.
And I'd just like to add one interesting sideline about that time, because I remember those days when you were beginning all of that. And another curious beginning was that your Friday night openings eventually morphed into the art walk, which eventually became the first Friday of every month, and a little-known fact of Fairfield there.
The history of all of that, you hear different, various people will give you different histories, but that's actually the way it happened.
Yeah, there was it is.
Well, we found that there was a hunger for the art opening experience. There were people that were like on the verge of leaving Fairfield because they were missing the big city life. And when we started having our gallery openings at Gallery 51 East, people were saying, whoa, this is just like being in New York or LA or Chicago, and I think I'll stick around. It's coming to me. In other words, they felt like the big city culture was starting to come to them. Mm. And the reason that it came to them was that I was here. I didn't want to be anywhere else. And I just felt like we have to create it ourselves. My attitude is like, if it's not happening, create it yourself. Don't wish it would happen or tell somebody else to do it. If you want something to happen, you do it yourself. And that's how all this has come about. Yeah. So I found myself having to deal with a larger art form than just being an artist. And it came out of my desire for a holistic life around the arts, and to move in life as an artist. That's it, to move in life as an artist. This was my desire. And that meant living the holistic artistic life. And I didn't quite know what that meant, but that's what I wanted. And when I moved back into the art world, as opposed to dealing with, in environmental design and economics and all the larger picture, which I had allowed my attention to flow to, which, in other words, I moved from sitting as an artist making little art objects to allowing my attention to roam to the vastest extent of what it meant to be an artist and be alive in the world. And then I came back and sat in the art world again and applied all of that. And what nature delivered to me was a picture of the artist as teacher curator. In other words, a loop. It's a complete loop of that place where art, where creativity springs. The artist really locates the place where creativity springs, and then rather than just like watches it, he manifests something from that place and holds that experience, that create this these ideas that bubble up are then encapsulated in a form. And that's what an artist is. He encapsulates idea into a form. So I understood what that was. And I had thought about it enough and verbalized, at least in my own mind, that I was able to then talk about that place to someone else. So now I was a teacher. Then we are creating these objects, and we have to have a space where those batteries that are holding a particular experience can be experienced by the group as a whole. So I think of the art gallery not so much as a gallery, but as a healing place, a ritual healing place for the community. So these objects that are brought back to us by the artists from their kind of like mythic journey within, that are an encapsulation of a kind of a higher vision, or a quickened experience of truth, or something that we might call beautiful, this object sits and the group sits around it, and the group is quickened. So what I was beginning to see was a total picture of what it was, what art was, what it was to make art, how I could spread the understanding of that, and then what the importance of all of that was for the group, and what the context, the setting of the environmental situation, so that the group could now become unified through this experience. So I was like freaking out when all of this was coming to me, and then finding myself day by day moving this along and making it happen. So I've been totally rewarded by what I've been doing here. And some people would say, very good, Bill. You've done a nice thing. But what I say is, well, what's the next step? Where do we go from here? How do we make it even more complete? And what I have found is that I had let off making art. I wasn't making my little drawings or little paintings or things that I like to do, and that I needed to go back and do that again. So my goal from here is to actually, because for those of you who know me and know what I've been doing, know that I've been putting an heavily weighted in the area of doing the Icon Gallery here in Fairfield. And what I'd like to do is balance out the teaching on the making of art, being an artist, making objects, teaching and curating. This is what I'm on now. So about 6 months ago, I set myself the goal of drawing for 15 minutes a day, just to get my foot in the door again of making stuff. And so I've at least 15 minutes. So I pretty well follow that. Some days I don't do it, but most days I do a little bit of drawing every day. And what's come out of that is quite a few new small drawings, which I'm going to be showing. So I'm kind of getting this new wave of the whole thing. See, the next wave, if I can pull it off, because we were talking about what it is to be an artist in the last show, and it's a feeling your way along towards something. If you're feeling mm-hmm. your way along towards something. And it's this like quest for truth is what it is. And you're the only one that knows if it's true or if you're fooling yourself. If you're trying to fool other people to think you know what you're doing, a lot of people get very famous fooling other people into thinking that you know what you're doing. But you know as a fact that you don't quite know what you're doing. And maybe that's not quite really what you want to be doing, but now you've become famous, and so you're riding along that. So it's really being like absolutely truthful with yourself about whether it's in there or not. I remember like in your show, your original show you had at Gallery 51 each, we called Is It Happening? And I think that best describes what we're doing as artists, is you have to really be ruthlessly truthful with yourself as to whether it's happening or not. So I don't feel like just that we've created Icon Gallery and a venue for all the fine artists of Iowa as a result. It is what we have now. But I'm looking forward to where can I go from here in the limited amount of time, because we're all working within limitations. You were talking about deadlines in the previous show. We're always dealing with deadlines, the ultimate deadline in a lifetime. And I'm thinking, how can I advance things further in the given amount of time that I've got? So I'm never ready to stop anywhere. I want to advance it further. So I've talked for some time now about the garden studio. I think we even did a radio show on it, which is like a mythic projection of where all this could come together, how my artistic life could come together into some kind of a whole that is beyond anything that we sort of have models for today. We have the art gallery, we have the art museum, we have artists in their lofts and all these nice, cool things going on. And yet to me that's like dry and lifeless compared to what it could be. So I want to go, I want the artistic life and the relationship of art to culture to be so rich that we can't stand it. And the only way that I can deal with that, the only place that I can, you know, do anything about it is in my own life. How can I advance my own life in that direction, therefore setting an example or a model for others? So that's what this this balancing these three things out is all about. Making art, teaching and curating. And I envision a compound. In fact, I haven't talked much about this. The president of ICON should know, which is Alan. I'm, for the 10th anniversary of ICON, I've been, we're going to have a significant show of miniature Indian art of that will be a long show, maybe even 4 months. When that's over, it's going to be somewhere around the 10th anniversary of ICON. I'm planning...
When is this coming up, Bill, in 2010?
2011.
Uh-huh.
Let's see, yeah, November of 2011 would be 10 years of Gallery 51 East ICON. But I'm thinking of saying, at that point, after 10 years, and I'm going to be 65 at that point, that it's time to retire. In other words, retire from doing it the way we've been doing it, the way maybe people are now having expectations of us doing it, and retiring to a place that's even better. Retiring to a place that's more personal.
It's like retiring the fragments into a more whole. What you're talking about in this whole segment here is very holistic. And I think what artists, myself included, do is somewhat fragmentary. We have our reasons for that. But this is a very holistic thing. What I'm seeing now is build the gallery or museum around Bill Teeple's life somehow, and you become the exhibit.
You're saying it.
Okay.
And we have to do this without there being any misconceptions. Rather than Bill setting himself up on a pedestal to be somebody, putting myself on the altar as an example of how how a true artistic life expands from the point of me being the center of my universe. So the idea is that I will sit at the center of my universe and make it as richly personal and universal as it can possibly be. I mean, it's a truly holistic vision. And you will sit in the center of your universe and make it as truly personal and universal as it can possibly be. And you will sit in your universe and it'll be as completely personal and universal as it can possibly be. These little pods of wholeness all living, you know, together. This is the vision. And why? But I can see, so that sounds like too idealistic, too big, too impossible, which is what people always say about these kinds of ideas. But what I can see is the next step in that direction. And the only way to get to that type of unity that we're talking about is to take baby steps in that direction. Mm-hmm. And so what I'm thinking of is, at that time, doing a show that's called an art, that's funny, you just said it, it's so cool, an artist compound. I don't know if it'll be like a 4 month show or it'll actually be a new form for the gallery. We don't know. It'll be defined as we go along, but I've got the vision of what I'd like to do. And I was going to call it an artist compound and really put in some, like, on the wall, in some kind of explanation of all this stuff that I'm talking about. And live it right there. I was thinking of on the mezzanine setting up and working. And there'll be times when people can flow in and out and actually so that the teaching, the curating, and the making of art could be almost at once. But also I could close the door and I could just work privately too. But I also like this idea of a flow of people watching me work. I think I can teach much by people watching me work, watching my attitude about working, my attitude about the making and the flowing onto the wall and off the wall. So this is, and then downstairs, it would still be icon. I would still be curating, but there would be more of, and the teaching would still be going on at the teaching studio, the icon gallery, and then we'd have a place where I sort of sit more in the middle of it, and it becomes obviously more personal, and the choice would be more personal, and I wouldn't be trying to accommodate like examples of all the work of Iowa, because I've been sort of collecting together and being a clearinghouse of art of Iowa, but I would at that point shift a little bit more towards like my own personal taste, so that people can get a little bit of a deeper glimpse into my aesthetic life. All right, so this all came about because I'm going to show my little drawings at Tiefel Hansen Gallery. And the drawings themselves are a kind of metaphor, because what I try to do is to squeeze as much monumentality and expansion while paying reverence to the world in a tiny little space.
So. And for those in our listening audience who have never seen Bill's drawings, they are about the size of a postage stamp. They're very, very small. Not just small, but really, really small. And yet they're landscapes and moonscapes and cloudscapes. And they're, like you just said, expansive and huge. And it's, there's something about having to lean very close to an image in order to see something that you instantly recognize as being something huge and vast. And I mean, there's nothing quite in our experience any in comparison to the sky in terms of vastness. It's just as big as it gets in the human physical experience. And so a picture of the sky that's, you know, 1 inch by 1 1/4 inches or something is really intriguing. And it's both the juxtaposition of the two and the amount of subtle detail and tonality that a pencil can get onto a piece of paper on that scale. The texture of the paper begins to become an important component in the image. And the way graphite works on paper becomes very important at that scale. Whereas a normal size drawing, you see the lines and you don't pay too much attention to the way the graphite actually adheres to the paper fibers. But in Bill's pieces, you do, and they're part of the skill of making an image that way. So anyway, that's just a verbal glimpse of what Bill's doing, and I recommend everyone check out the Tiefel Hansen Gallery upstairs above Icon to see Bill's
new show. I
wonder
if you should put one in the large works show. Because
you could hang it next to the fly.
Well, the first thing I always think when I look at your small works is that you step through that window and it's real big out there. Mm-hmm. And in a way, it's a real comment about what is a large work.
We could, as you enter, next to the fly, we could put, and we could say, what is large anyway? Because it's true, I've always, when we did the large works, I've also thought about this in the context of the last large work show, when you had the little speakers. Mm-hmm. And we made it actually a large work by mounting them on a piece of
panel.
Wood. But on the other hand, the point we were making, I think, I'm not sure people
it
got
it.
It was the largest work in the show because it filled, the sound filled the entire gallery.
Yeah.
So it would be fun to raise that issue more if we ever do another large work show. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if we will, if the small works show goes away, but we could do a final large work show that really pushes the frontiers and boundaries of large.
Maybe we should rename it the large show, and then we'd talk about what is large.
Yeah, okay.
And maybe what is, I mean, there's a lot to think about there. What is crimped and what is largesse and what is, or largesic, if that's a word, but what is a lot and what is a little, and an interesting territory.
Yeah, it is.
We could call it the really big show.
The really big shoe.
Really big shoe.
The seemingly really large, but maybe smaller, but then what does that mean, show?
Well, this leads into various interesting discussions, because any artwork actually touches, if it's good art, what it does is it touches the largest. It goes from the point where it's created to the largest, beyond, you know, larger than the largest, the whole. And so that's all very interesting.
Well, and it seems, kind of building on what Bob just said, it makes perfect sense to me that a show about largeness has to deal with smallness. And it's not at all contradictory to have tiny works. I could see works so small you have to look at them through a magnifying glass.
Well, and you put in the sound element, like in your work, and I mean, how big is a sound? I mean, maybe a loud sound is big and a small sound is small, but that's not really true. A small sound can be huge.
It, and it fills the volume. Whole space. And
it can fill the whole world, maybe, if you could hear it.
Yeah. We should probably show the powers of 10 or something like
right.
Where are we at time-wise?
Well, we have about 20 seconds left.
20 seconds. Well.
Wrap it up.
When is your show opening?
It's opening on the Art Walk November 6th.
November 6th.
People Hansen Gallery. The Art Walk is 6:30 to around 10 o'clock at night.
And that's the year 2009, for those of you listening to this after the turn of the next century.
You've been listening to Icon Art Radio, a production of Iowa Contemporary Art, Fairfield.